Good morning and welcome. Today, a pro-Israeli group called NGO Monitor has a go at Throkra. In a few moments, they'll air their differences here. Why the interest rate on your credit card appears to have dramatically increased, but in fact has not. A chance to spend a year in Asia. It's all down to that famous Farmley summit. The bank robbery yesterday. Why were the protocols not followed that would have saved the cash? France go home in disgrace, and the England team faces their survival battle this afternoon. We've some summer reading for you that guarantees satisfaction. And there's more. You can telephone us on 1850-715-900. Text us on 51551 today, pk@rte.ie for your emails. After coming under fierce international pressure, Israel has eased its blockade of Gaza, but it's resisting attempts to of an international inquiry into a deadly raid on the ship trying to break the blockade of Gaza. As you remember, 9 pro-Palestinian activists died when Israeli soldiers stormed the ship. Now, a group called NGO Monitor, represented by Anne Hertzberg, will appear before the Oireachtas Joint Committee on European Affairs today. The pro-Israeli group monitors the work of non-governmental organizations and has accused aid organizations such as Throkra of bias and double standards. We're joined by Anne Hertzberg and by Eamon Meehan, Deputy Director of Throkra. Good morning to you both. First of all, Anne, you might tell us about NGO Monitor, who you are and who your sponsors are.
Great. NGO Monitor is based in Jerusalem. We were founded about 7 years ago to monitor the activities of human rights and humanitarian NGOs in the Arab-Israeli conflict. After the 2001 World Conference Against Racism in German South Africa, we noticed that there was that NGOs that had been increasingly accumulating power on the world stage were actually perhaps not sticking to their mandates of advocating for universal human rights. And therefore, I wanted to take a closer look at exactly what are these organizations doing, and perhaps are the organizations even in keeping with promoting peace and easing the conflict?
I described you as a pro-Israeli group. Is that fair as a description?
I would say in general that's a fair description. Yeah. But we don't have a lot of resources, but we are starting to look at conflict areas around the world. We've looked a little bit into Colombia, Sri Lanka, Africa, and we hope to expand our activities into other areas.
Now, why are you here today?
I'm going to be testifying before the Joint Committee on European Affairs.
Did they call you or did you call them?
They called me.
All right.
I'm aware.
they want to get your view on
what's
going on. Now, will you specify what your problem is with Irish NGOs, but particularly with Throkra?
Okay. One thing that should be stressed is a lot of that NGOs, humanitarian organizations, including Throkra, receive tens of millions of euros a year from European governments, from the EU, even the Irish government. And in many cases, the activities of these organizations are not in keeping with the policies of the government funding they're receiving. So, for instance, I have a letter here that I received from the Secretary of Irish Aid, which distributes, I believe,
part of our Department of Foreign Affairs.
Yes, receives 20 to 30 million euro a year. Throkra receives it from the department. And he says in the letter that they do not support campaigns for trade sanctions or boycotts against Israel. Yet when we examine the activities of Throkra, a lot of the organizations that they work with and even their own campaigns actually seem to be in contrast to those policies.
Do you have examples of that?
So, for instance, just in the past 6 months, Throkra has advocated to keep Israel out of the OECD. It's advocated suspending the EU-Israel Association Agreement. It provides funding or partners with organizations such as B'Deal, the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, that are part of the national boycott movement against Israel, which doesn't call for a two-state solution, but this movement actually calls for the eradication of Israel. They consider all of Israel to be occupied, not just territory beyond the
Green Line. And what's the name of that organization?
The umbrella organization is called the Boycott National Campaign, and it's an
umbrella. But the one with which Throkra have an association?
Well, they have an association with groups called B'Deal and the Palestinian Center for Human Rights. And those organizations are part of this umbrella organization,
which calls for the
eradication of Israel.
All right. Eamon Meehan, who's the deputy director of Throkra, has been listening to this. In theory, you're not supposed to be doing things like this. You're supposed to be politically neutral, but looking to humanitarian good works.
Well, I should say, first of all, that the reason that we are involved in work in Gaza, in the West Bank, and indeed in Israel, is because of the humanitarian situation there. The humanitarian situation of Palestinians, particularly in Gaza, but also in the West Bank, is clear. The organizations that we support are involved in responding to humanitarian needs. The other reason that we are there is because of the human rights aspects of this particular conflict. There is no doubt that the rights of Palestinians have been abused. Movement is forbidden in Gaza. The people of Gaza are being punished as a collective population. The organizations that we support, both Palestinian organizations and Israeli organizations that work for human rights to raise awareness of these issues, to monitor the human rights situation, are perfectly legitimate. They receive.
What do you say to the very particular point that one of the organizations you support is part of a larger umbrella group which wants the eradication of Israel rather than a two-state solution?
Well, I don't accept that. The organization which Anne mentioned is a legitimate Palestinian organization staffed by Palestinians. They are a human rights organization and they monitor the activities of the Israeli armed forces and they provide legal assistance to Palestinians.
But do they have a view on a one-state, two-state solution, no-state solution as far as Israel is concerned?
Well, I think most Palestinian organizations are realistic and their view is that ultimately there needs to be a two-state solution.
I think for example, Hamas, their view is basically Israel should be no more.
Yes, that's
their view, and that's the difficulty because you've got the two groups of Palestinians, one which favors the two-state solution, Hamas, which does not. So although they may be realists, what are they saying in their own propaganda? Are they saying, this group that you're involved with, that there should be no right for Israel to exist?
Not to my knowledge. And this certainly would never have come up in any of the conversations and discussions that we would have had with them. And in relation to Hamas, Throkra is in favour of a peaceful solution in that region and has been critical of Hamas and supports the Goldstone report recently on Operation Cast Lead, which was critical both of actions of the Israeli government and of Hamas.
What about the other charges that Anne has made, that you're lobbying for certain political effects to keep Israel out of the OECD, to break the association agreement between Israel and the EU, which is mutually beneficial in terms of trade?
Yes, our view is that Israel has a case to answer in terms of its treatment of the Palestinian population. The EU association agreement is very clear that there are human rights aspects implicit in that agreement, and the parties to that agreement have an obligation to protect human rights. And in our view, that agreement should be suspended where Israel is concerned until such time as the European Union has the opportunity to fully investigate whether Israel is meeting its human rights obligations. That is our view.
I mean, that's what he's saying. You can't separate human rights sometimes from the politics of the thing. If human rights are being abused, and yet Israel is enjoying privileged status in trade terms with the association agreement of the EU, and they're not living by the commitments they made on human rights, well, then that agreement should be suspended until they do.
Well, I would.
Is that not a reasonable position to take?
I would take issue with that. Number one, I don't believe Trocrer is advocating to block EU association agreements with other countries. Right now, the EU has association agreements with Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, and Egypt, and they are actually looking to enter into one with Syria. And I have not seen any efforts on Trocrer's behalf to block those agreements, especially in cases in those countries where the human rights situation is much, much worse than it is in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Secondly, I would take issue with characterizing some of the organizations like Palestinian Center for Human Rights as a human rights organization. While it calls itself a human rights organization, I believe it actually exploits the rhetoric of human rights. For instance, it calls attacks on Israeli civilians as resistance. It does not speak out against attacks on Israelis. It has not said anything about the rights of Gilad Shalit, who's been held incommunicado this week for over 4 years after he was kidnapped from Israeli soil. And I don't believe Trocrer has actually done much on his rights either. So I find what we see with a lot of these organizations, they take a very one-sided view to the conflict. They reduce the narrative to a very simplistic picture where Palestinians are the sole victims, they're incapable of having agency for their actions, and Israel is the supreme violator, the worst violator in the world. And the picture is a lot more complicated than these organizations make it out to be.
Ayman Mean, how is that fair, that there's never a pip out of you in terms of any abuses of Israelis, be they people who were victims of rocket attacks, or whether the person who's kidnapped and is now 4 years incommunicado? You don't worry about that. Is it because you think that the weight of injustice is higher on the Palestinian side?
Well, first of all, what Anne says isn't entirely true. First of all, in relation to the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, they are a legitimate human rights organization, and they have been and continue to be highly critical of Hamas and highly critical of violence within Gaza. And I believe that they are balanced. In relation to our views on Israel, we also support Israeli organizations, including an Israeli organization that works in Sderot with victims of rockets from Gaza. We have been doing that for the past 3 years, and I think that should lay the argument that we have no interest in Israelis and that we have no interest in the rights of Israelis. Certainly, the balance in terms of conflict, the balance in terms of human rights abuses, and the balance in terms of power versus poverty is clearly in favor of Israel.
And isn't that a salient point? That I mean, the Israelis, by and large, are not starving. They are not workless. In fact, there's lots of work going on in Israel. They are not confined to barracks. They are not effectively isolated and literally marooned in their own territory, whereas the Palestinians are.
Well, I think we need to make some distinctions. The West Bank right now, the Palestinian population there is enjoying, unprecedented economic prosperity. Actually, I think their GDP is higher than Israel's right now in terms of growth. In Gaza, the situation in Gaza is not fun, but I don't think it is nearly as dire as Trokra and other organizations are making it out to be. The New York Times actually last week had an article showing photos from Gaza where you have pictures of fashion ateliers and cell phone stores and stores selling widescreen TVs. So while I would certainly not contend that Gaza is a fun place to live.
When many thousands of people depend on food being given to them rather than being able to fend for themselves, that's not an acceptable situation.
Yeah, it's definitely not. But I think the emphasis of the human rights organizations, it's too often one-sided. First of all, there's another border with Gaza, and that is Egypt. And I don't see enough focus from human rights organizations on Egypt. And frankly, although we've heard a little bit about supposed criticisms of Hamas, they have been few and far between. We don't see active campaigning to end Hamas repression of women, of gays. Just last week, they raided women and children's health clinics and support organizations, the crackdowns on free speech there. And perhaps if aid organizations and humanitarian organizations would spend a little more focus on that aspect of the conflict, perhaps we would see some resolution.
What's your response to that, Ayman? I mean, people are oppressed by Hamas as well.
Absolutely. And there is no doubt about that. Last week, staff of Trokra were told by UN agencies and by Palestinian human rights organizations that Hamas does oppress them in many aspects of their lives. There is no doubt about that. And if you ask Palestinians in Gaza what they want, first of all, they want a reconciliation between opposing factions on the ground that would make their lives easier and that would enable a proper negotiation with Israel. That is what they are saying. That is what they want. And in our view, Hamas is not a government that will do justice for the Palestinians in the long term. But at the moment, the overwhelming issue is the impoverishment of the people of Gaza by the State of Israel. 70% of that population, 1.4 million people, live on less than $1 a day. And that ultimately is why Trokra
is
there.
But is Trokra pointing out, or can it, given, I would say, the circumscribing of freedom of speech, are you saying to the people who are oppressed by their own government, listen, guys, you know, it's not Israel is your only problem. Your own government is your only problem, and yet you elected them in the Gaza territory.
Yeah, well, they're aware of that. I mean, they are aware of that, and the situation is complex.
If you're picking up the pieces, though, for that government, that failed government, and an oppressive government, aren't you almost like a co-conspirator?
Not really. I mean, we're pointing out the reality on the ground. We're telling the story as it is. And it's not as if we are the only organization telling the story.
But you know the way you're trying to use, if you like, pressure, Israel to be kept out of the OECD, Israel to have their agreement with Europe suspended. I mean, is there any question of going to Hamas and saying, listen, we're out of here unless you guys shape up? Or is that the kind of conversation you cannot have with Hamas?
Well, we haven't spoken to them. I mean, we talk to UN agencies in Gaza. We talk to legitimate, independent Palestinian organizations. We talk to the Catholic Church in Gaza. And we get our views and our information from those sources. And as I've said, they don't like
Hamas. The example I would give is that when we were giving lots of money to Uganda, they were able to embark on a foreign war in the Congo, knowing that we were going to build the schools for them. So...
Well, I don't think it's the same. I mean,
but there are parallels that, you know, as long as the agencies go in there and prop up effectively Hamas government.
Well, I don't believe that that's what is happening. I mean, would you say the same of the United Nations, whose program there is in scale vastly greater than anything that we can do? I mean,
no, but isn't there a very interesting principle here that you allow an oppressive government to continue, you allow a government which is flinging rockets into Israel to continue to do that? Well, you say, we'll stick it out here. We will actually feed the hungry, which is a wonderful imperative to respond to. But at the same time, the second effect of that is to support a government which is oppressive.
Well, I think if we weren't there doing our work, if the UN wasn't there doing its work, I think Hamas would be even more oppressive, and the people of Gaza would be even more oppressed and would be starving. And that is not something that the international community can allow or would accept.
So Anne, today when you go to this Committee on European Affairs, mm-hmm. what do you want to happen? I mean, do you want Irish Aid to stop giving money to Throgra?
I think that Irish Aid shouldn't stop giving the money, but they need to examine exactly what programs are being undertaken there, and are these programs effective? I haven't seen too many internal audits, external audits, independent evaluations of whether or not these programs are actually helping.
Well,
the
Irish Aid,
there.
I'm told, speaking of oppression, are almost oppressive in their demand for crossing the T's and dotting the I's in terms of accounting for the money, you know.
Well, I think that's one aspect of it, but I think the more important aspect is the substantive aspect. Not just is the money not being misused, but exactly is the money being directed towards programs that are the most effective and can actually help the people and reduce incitement and actually try to bring Palestinians and Israelis closer together rather than driving them apart. And you raised a very good point. There's a phenomenon now that a lot of academics are speaking about called the weaponization of human rights. And in fact, the U.S. Supreme Court this week issued a very important decision where they considered in some cases humanitarian organizations are giving material support to terror organizations in a lot of the work they do. And this phenomenon has been seen in Colombia, in Turkey, and in Sri Lanka. And so it raises a
but
very important
getting
debate.
Getting back to the if you take, say, a very broad look at the situation, you have a population in Gaza which is poor, mm-hmm. Many of whom are hungry, mm-hmm. many of whom depend on the food parcels mm-hmm. To survive. On the other hand, you have a very powerful, heavily weaponized neighbor in Israel, mm-hmm, all-powerful, mm-hmm. wealthy. I mean, that is the equation that gets up the noses of the international community, that you have a flotilla of ships coming along, Israel goes in, makes it an incredible mess of the military aspect of that mm-hmm, particular mm-hmm. operation, and then somehow cries foul after an act of piracy on the high seas. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what infuriates people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, again, that's sort of a simplistic reduction of what's been going on. But in fact, the flotilla is actually a perfect example of this phenomenon of weaponization of human rights. We have an organization, IHH, from Turkey, that is part of an umbrella organization deemed by the U.S. government to be a terror organization. It joined with the Palestinian Solidarity Movement to confront the Israeli Navy in order to block the blockade. And in fact, when you actually looked at what was on the ships, the ship that was involved with the violent confrontation with the Navy actually had absolutely no aid on it whatsoever. And the other ships had
did it have the kind of heavy weapons that the Israelis were equipped with, although, as I say, ineptly used on the day.
Actually, the Israeli commandos that stormed the ship, and perhaps an intelligence failure, were only armed with paintball weapons, and some of their sidearms that they also had were stolen by the IHH members.
But what do you expect? I mean, I don't know if anyone's on the high seas, okay, heading for the waters off Gaza, knowing they were going to be confronted, but in international waters are attacked by a third party, be they Somali pirates or be they Israelis.
Mm-hmm. Well,
would you not try to resist?
Well, in fact, it's a blockades are perfectly legal under international law, and you can intercept ships bound for in territory under blockade.
Well, that, as you know,
in
is the big argument,
waters.
And part of the reason that Israel seems to be resisting the international inquiry into their actions,
because
that might definitively say this was an illegal act.
I don't think the international community will say that once the facts are known. I think even when you saw the videos that were coming
out
within hours,
why doesn't Israel want to go along with an international inquiry rather than its own
internal
inquiry?
Well, I believe there is an international inquiry being set
up. They want to try to
David
stop it.
Trimble.
You may have read yesterday that Ehud Barak wants to stop that international inquiry. The Trimble one is not. It may have an international component, but it's not the UN inquiry.
Well, I don't think the UN is a capable organization of conducting an inquiry, frankly.
Right. Last words from you. Will you be there today defending Throkra to the Committee on European Affairs?
I haven't been invited along to give evidence before the committee, but I will be there in the public gallery to hear what Anne has to say, and I'm sure the committee will in due course give me time to respond.
All right, Eamon Meehan, the Deputy Director of Throkra, thank you very much, and Anne Hertzberg of NGO Monitor, thank you also.